www.goldenstatetheater.com.
Another twist in the E. coli outbreak, which now has spread to Iowa, where several people became sick after eating at a Taco John's restaurant, which has no connection to the Taco Bells in the Northeast, where more than 60 customers became sick several weeks ago. Meanwhile, the source of that outbreak still being investigated. Taco Bell says it may have been green onions and that they have since changed their produce suppliers. The Space Shuttle Discovery preparing to dock with the International Space Station later today, after which the crew will begin replacing the station's electrical system. Dubai Ports World is selling its U.S. port operations to a unit of American International Group. No word on the sale price. DuPont will be cutting 1,500 jobs and consolidating manufacturing in its seeds unit to lower operating costs by $100 million a year. Sabre Holdings, which owns the Travelocity website, is talking with a consortium of private equity firms about buying it out for more than $4 billion. The New York Times says the deal could be struck by tomorrow. And the Sunday Times of London reports the bidding for the Aston Martin unit of Ford Motor Company could reach $1.2 billion. The Aston Martin was made famous by James Bond and, of course, is prominently featured in the current Bond film, Casino Royale. Gold is up a little more than $3 this hour, trading at $634.40 an ounce. Silver's at $14.02, and light sweet crude down 16 cents a barrel at $61.87. All the markets are higher on Wall Street. The Dow is up 18 points, the NASDAQ is up 8, and the S&P 500 is up 3. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's 5 past the hour.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. This is the Week in Review. All topics are valid. And this is the last Week in Review of calendar year 2006. I'll be back, of course, next year. But I want to wish everyone happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. And let me give a shout-out to the atheists out there, too. I wish the Republicans and the radical right would be as ecumenical as I am. I believe that every culture in America deserves to have a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays. Every culture needs to have recognition here. And one of the things that I want to talk about this hour is the hypocrisy of the religious right, in that they want everyone to be exactly as they are. They claim that when you don't have Christianity in a public square, for example, that somehow that's discrimination against Christians. But then they don't want to allow any other religions in the public square. I was amazed, really, at the dust-up over whether the first Muslim congressman would be allowed to put his hand on the Quran and swear an oath to uphold the Constitution. What's wrong with that? If you can put your hand on the Bible, what's wrong with putting your hand on the Quran? And, of course, this silliness over the war on Christmas. I want to talk about that. But before we go there, let's talk about my favorite hypocrisy of the right, that involving gay rights. And we've seen it in two examples, one in the warmed-over report sent out last Friday night so it would get as little press as possible on how, oh, it turns out that everyone in the Republican leadership did know in detail about Mark Foley but didn't want to do anything. Well, they didn't want to do anything for obvious reasons, because it would embarrass them. Because even solicitation of sex, even gay solicitation of sex, to pages isn't as important to the Republicans as it is protecting their leadership. And the same goes with the Vice President of the United States. The Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney, is the leader of the neoconservatives, and in many ways he inspires more service and support and love among the hard right than almost any figure in the Bush administration, more so than the president, certainly. For most of us, he inspires the greatest loathing and distaste. But the vice president happens to have a lesbian daughter. Now, does anyone doubt that if Dick Cheney's daughter were straight, that he would be all for virulently persecuting gay people just as the rest of his party is, just as the leaders of his party is, not just in denying gay people the same right to get married that everyone else has, the same right to adopt children that everyone else has. No, but furthermore, not even giving gay people the right to hold a job. He'd be against the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which has still not become law, though I expect it will be when the Democrats take over, a law saying you can't fire someone just because they're gay. Indeed, I'm sure Dick Cheney would be against hate crimes laws as well, laws that say there is a difference between when you burn your neighbor's leaves in his yard and when you burn a cross in his yard, that there is a difference between scratching on a tree, Mary loves Tom, and writing on a lawn, faggot. We understand the difference. But the vice president having a lesbian daughter, who just this week announced that she is pregnant, you know, for liberals, for tolerant Americans, for people on the left, that's occasion to cheer. Congratulations, Mary Cheney. We're very glad you're having a daughter. We wish you could get married to your partner of 14 or 15 years. We wish your daughter would have legal rights and your partner would have legal rights. As you know, Mary Cheney, it's going to be difficult for your partner, your child's other mother, the person you've been married to in effect for 14 years, if not legally. It's going to be difficult for even her to pick up your kid at school. If your child becomes sick at school, school authorities may not send your child over to what is in the law a total stranger. So she may just have to stay sick and suffer. And if a 5 or 6 or 8-year-old suffer, that's just the price she's going to have to pay for the fact that her mother is gay. Right? I mean, that's what the religious right believes. But there was very little criticism of Mary Cheney, our last Republican vice president, Dan Quayle, sharply criticized Murphy Brown, a single mother, for having a baby by artificial insemination. And Murphy Brown wasn't even real. She was a character on a TV show. Mary Cheney, of course, has done much better. She's in a committed relationship. I don't know what 14 years is if it's not a committed relationship. I think that lasts longer than most straight marriages these days. She's in a committed relationship with her partner of 14 years. They're having a child together. A two-parent family, which all psychologists will tell you, is always better than a one-parent family. That every gay family is better statistically by every way you look at it, in the way kids achieve, in their psychological well-being, in their sense of self-confidence, than a single-parent family. So unless all you Republicans want to abolish single-parent families, you got to admit the gay family's better. So she's doing that, and I say more power to her. My question is, what about the silence on the right? What about the silence on the right? Why aren't they condemning Mary Cheney? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you have a committed couple. As far as I'm concerned, they're married. As far as I'm concerned, they and their child deserves all the rights of every other marriage and every other child in America. But that's not the right wing's position. That's not even the Republicans' position. The official position of the Republican Party is that Mary Cheney should be discriminated against. The official position of the Republican Party is that Mary and her partner should pay higher taxes, that their child should not have the same rights of health care, the same rights to have their parents take care of them, that if one of them dies, they shouldn't be able to will money to the other or even to the child without paying taxes. According to the religious right wing, the other mother of Mary Cheney, Mary Cheney's daughter, is a stranger. Even though she's going to be raising her for the next, 18, 20 years. So, at the same time as they want to persecute gay families, they just don't want to persecute Vice President Cheney's gay family. And now, they're yelling at the left. How dare you mention this? How dare you mention that the Vice President's daughter is not going to have equal rights just because she's gay? Yes, it's true, and yes, we don't want her to have equal rights, but don't you understand that it's embarrassing when we talk about that to the vice president's daughter? We don't mind if a homeless person or a poor person or a middle-class person, we don't mind if gay, ordinary gay people, the kind that we persecute in our hometowns, if they're treated as second-class citizens. But to point out that the vice president's daughter doesn't have equal rights, well, that's just rude. That's just rude because we like Dick Cheney. He can't help it that he has a gay daughter and... Oh, wait. That's my argument. that he can't help it that he has a gay daughter. The religious right is forgetting their own rhetoric. Just because science and psychology and human experience teaches us that sexual orientation is not chosen, that's not the position of the right. They believe sexual orientation is chosen just like they believe the earth was created in 6 days, 6,000 years ago, that all fossils were planted by God, and that the earth is flat, and that the sun goes around the earth. Right? These are their positions. Science be damned. It doesn't mean anything. So the irony is that if you follow the religious rights rhetoric, it is Vice President Cheney's fault his daughter's gay. Right? That's their rhetoric. It was bad raising. The vice president is a lousy father, according to the right wing. And the vice president, according to the right wing, should disown his grandchild. Because according to them, his grandchild is a bastard. Married, brought in out of wedlock by artificial insemination. Mary Cheney should be taking some of those babies by in vitro fertilization, some of those stem cells, and raising them as her own. I just don't hear the right wing condemn Vice President Cheney for that. I wonder why. Just like they don't condemn the Ethics Committee for letting go all of the Republican leadership that knew about Mark Foley. I want to talk about that after the break. If you want to call in and focus on this or any other subject, it is the Week in Review, and we're always glad to hear from you. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK or 877-4-HEAD-ON. Want to hear from you. 877-4-HEAD-ON. We'll be right back after this.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When? Somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number one? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network. Do you know
what you want? Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK. You can also post on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. It's a week in review. All topics are valid, but we're focusing on the hypocrisy of the right in this holiday season, where many of us celebrate the religious traditions of many different peoples, but the religious right apparently gets upset when, well, when people practice their own traditions, unless it's their traditions. Regarding Mary Cheney, Mad Fuck, M-A-D-F-U-Q of Kansas, writes, "What a quandary for the right moral stance, for the party that embraces the religious rights agenda of anti-gay in any way that just reinforces what all of us see as hypocrisy. Of course, the majority of people do not see the gay life as any of their business, but the few that are so vocal, wanting to ram their views down our throats and their religious beliefs into our government control of we masses, this poses a real oxymoron." Well, let's talk about another oxymoron, and that is the Ethics Committee examining what happened with Mark Foley. Now, of course, you know what happened with Mark Foley. You know of his sexual IMs to pages, solicitations of sex to 16-year-olds, to 17-year-olds, across state lines in violation of the very law that Mark Foley got passed as the chairman of the Caucus of Missing and Exploited Children. Well, the Ethics Committee purposely waited until after the election to decide what happened to Mark Foley. And it's probably good for the Republicans that they did, because if the public had read what the Ethics Committee wrote and what they did prior to the election, we would have gained not 30 seats, but 60 seats. The Ethics Committee came back with clear evidence that everyone at the top of the Republican Party knew exactly what Mark Foley was doing. Everyone from current but soon-to-be former Speaker Dennis Hastert to the new leader of the Republicans, Boehner, he knew too. And indeed, it turns out there was a late-night session as they tried to get their story straight. That also came out. That's right. Boehner told the Washington Post that he had told Hastert about his concerns about Foley. Hastert said Boehner hadn't said a word. But when it came out in the Post, they all met together in a late-night session trying to get their story straight. But it was a problem. Boehner had said publicly he told Hastert. Hastert had said publicly he hadn't been told. And apparently their late-night session didn't work, because the next day Hastert says, "Well, maybe I was told," the same day that Boehner said, "Well, maybe I didn't tell." You know, they really need to get their, you know, conspiracy criminals get their story straight better than those in the Republican Party. Colby knew as well, who's retiring from Arizona. And yes, all of Hastert's staff knew. That's what the committee said. As I have said a long time, Kurt Fordham is an honest person. That's the chief of staff, former chief of staff for Mark Foley. And one real hero in this, and I don't often call Republicans hero, but I want to let people know there is an openly gay Republican who's a true hero in this, and that's Jeff Trandle. He's the clerk of the House. He's been complaining to Republican officials as far back as 1995 about Mark Foley. It turns out that Mark Foley went not once but twice to the Page dormitories late at night that we know of. First time, he was intoxicated and turned away by Capitol Police. Although if he was intoxicated, why wasn't he stopped for drinking and driving? In the second incident, in 2000, he appeared in his convertible during the Page's end-of-semester all-night party and sped off with two pages before the supervisors could react. Not cool. Not cool. And the report does condemn Democrats as well for going to the press about this. I'm not sure why it condemns Democrats for going to the press about this. Clerks went to the press about this. The Democrats, in fact, didn't get their stuff published by the press until the clerks went to the press. And As for going to authorities, that had been happening for 10 years, and nothing happened. And nothing will happen today. The report recommends zero punishment for any of the Republicans who knew about this conduct and did nothing to prevent it. Now let's compare, if you will, this to the ongoing crisis that shut down the United States government for more than a year in 1998-99. I'm talking, of course, about Bill Clinton's dalliance with Monica Lewinsky. Of course, Monica Lewinsky was of age, young to be sure, 24, but of age, and she was consenting, unlike the Pages. So the difference between a high-up official having sex with a consenting adult and soliciting sex from an unconsenting minor, I think it's pretty clear. What we do know is there were lies about it. Bill Clinton did carefully crafted lies that I think were lies, but were designed to trick people into thinking he told the truth. The Republican leadership just lied. Hastert out and out lied. Boehner out and out lied. Boehner's the head of the Republicans, and he out and out lied. And folks, they lied under oath. These statements were made under oath before the Ethics Committee. Now, they weren't made in public hearings. Again, I don't know why. If the Ethics Committee under the Republicans wants to truly look at ethics, why wasn't this done in public? Why were they trying to protect these people? Still, they were done in quiet. They were done under oath. They were lies. Why aren't they being prosecuted for perjury? I mean, after what they did to Bill Clinton, shouldn't Hastert and Boehner be prosecuted for perjury? See, I don't think it's as big a deal, but given that the religious right thinks it is, that they think that lying about consensual sex deserves impeachment of a president, but lying under oath about non-consensual sex solicitation with teenagers, and I don't think this matters, but for religious right, it has to matter that it's gay, because they hate everything gay. So does it matter that the leaders of the Republican Party knew that a member of Congress was soliciting, in an unwanted fashion, 16-year-old boys for sex? Apparently not. I haven't heard anyone complain. I haven't heard a single member of Focus on the Family or James Dobson or any of the other hypocrites call for Boehner's resignation, have you? I haven't heard anyone complain when the Ethics Committee put this report out on a Friday afternoon so that no one would even talk about it. Well, I'm still talking about it on Monday morning. For the rest of people, it's old news. That, by the way, is a really clever thing they do in Washington when they want something not to get out in the news. They release it on Friday afternoon, so it's too late to go in Friday's papers. Saturday's papers are the least read papers of the week. People read Sunday and Monday through Friday much more than they read Saturday. And then by Monday morning, it's considered old news. It's an old trick. It's not even in your newspaper anymore, is it? But why isn't the right complaining? That's what I don't understand, okay? I mean, I think all Americans should be troubled by Mark Foley's conduct and by the Republican cover-up. But why isn't the right complaining? They're supposed to care about moral values. They're supposed to care about unwanted sexual solicitation. They're supposed to care about punishing gay people. Why haven't they complained that no one has been not even prosecuted, not even disciplined? How about a reprimand? Can we get a reprimand, please? I mean, you know, they censured Barney Frank for having a guy in his home years ago that was a prostitute, not for anything Frank did, except I think there were some parking tickets. They censured him for that. And this was nothing non-consenting about this and nothing involving minors. They censured Phil Crane for consensual sex. And there was a Republican as well. That one was heterosexual. So, excuse me, the Republican was Phil Crane. The Democrat was Gary Stutz. Excuse me. Anyway, this is back in the 70s. My point is this. If you think this conduct is worth punishing, why isn't the right complaining now and asking that these people be punished? I'll tell you what they are complaining about. An awful thing. They're being forced to work more than twice as long as they worked under the Republican Congress. The Republican Congress, and I was there, folks, they met for important bills from Tuesday night clear into Thursday afternoon. That's right. They had to work all day Wednesday, and many times most of Thursday, too. That's right. Almost 2 days a week, which gave them, of course, 10 days less than the do-nothing Congress that Harry Truman complained about. Well, it's changing. The Democrats are insisting that Congress work a five-day week, that they actually work from Monday to Friday like most Americans. That hasn't stopped a lot of complaining. Congressman Jack Kingston of Georgia said about the demand that Congress work a five-day week, quote, "Keeping us here eats away at families. Marriages suffer. The Democrats could care less about families. That's what this says," unquote. Well, Congressman Kingston, if you want to be with your family, let me make a suggestion to you. Quit your job, move back to Georgia. You can be with your family all the time. Now, if you have to work 5 days a week, well, you won't be able to. So get one of those CEO jobs where you just work a day or two a week. Get one of those lobbying jobs and stay in Georgia. You know, apparently Congressman Kingston didn't know where the capital of the United States was. He must have thought that it was in Georgia. What I find interesting, though, is that the Democrats from states as far away as Hawaii and California aren't complaining. They understand that when they're elected to do a job, they should do a job. And if you want your family in the same town with you, then move to Washington, D.C. You can help our housing market out here. But can you believe this? Oh, my God, it hurts families. The same congressman that I'm sure, along with most of the Republican Party, voted against the Family Medical Leave Act, the idea that if your family member is dying or sick, you could take off work without pay to care for them, is angry because he'd been working only 2 days a week, getting the other 5 days a week off with pay, and now he's going to have to work a five-day week. Poor Congressman Kingston. It really is too hard for you to be a member of Congress. I really want to suggest that you resign. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. When we come back, I want to talk about more religious hypocrisy, the so-called war on Christmas, which we're not hearing a lot about this year, and the strange idea that the new Muslim congressman shouldn't be able to take his oath of office on the Quran. What the heck is wrong with that? You want to call in, discuss anything you want, feel free to do so. 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If
you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm reading the comments on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com about Mary Cheney. And Robert, I think you make a really good point. Robert points out that when John Kerry supported abortion rights, which, recall, the majority of Americans do not think abortion should be outlawed, that there were calls to excommunicate him, to remove his church membership, to not allow him in the church. Well, if there's one thing that people on the right, the religious fundamentalists, hate more than abortion, it's gay people. And yet, when Dick Cheney doesn't excommunicate his granddaughter, doesn't kick his daughter Mary Cheney out of the home, accepts Mary Cheney and her wife as equals, as if they were married, loves his grandchild, does what I would hope any of us would do, though it is a bit surprising, admittedly, coming from a guy like Dick Cheney. There are no calls to excommunicate him. Not a one. There are no calls to excommunicate her. Why not? There are calls to kick out gay people from churches all across the country. But not if they're the daughter of the vice president. No. Not her. Wonder what Jesus would have said about hypocrites. Sarge, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate your topic today. This is something that really has bothered me, is these people in Washington griping because they've actually got to work 5 days a week.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, my God. And you should hear the gripes.
And
people are saying, oh, it's just so hard for me. I mean, that means that I'm working more days than I'm off.
Yeah, that's just horrible. You know, when I was serving in the military and I got a shipment to Germany, and in the process, some of our fine people in my career field got busted on drugs, and there was a good number of them, and there were so many of them that they had to move a lot of our shipments up, and we were due to get there in January and have Christmas at home, as well as New Year's. And my shipment got moved, so Christmas Eve I was sitting in Germany. My wife was pregnant, and I had to leave my base before that and drive straight through to Mississippi so I could get my wife home and then go to my port call and go to Germany, and in the process it caused her to miscarry.
Sarge.
On Christmas Eve, I was sitting in Germany, and the Red Cross contacted me and told me my wife had miscarried. And the first sergeant told me, "I will let you go home, but here's the problem. If you go home, you can't do any good now because it's all, you know, she's got her family there, and you're just going to use up your leave time, and there's really not much you can do. So while I will give it to you, I urge you to stay here. And so I did.
Wow.
But, you know,
That's a heck of a story. Yeah, kids were coming up on Christmas here.
But it
shows that it's just it's a hypocrisy. It's not willing to allow the rest of Americans to have the same life that they lead.
That's right.
It's that simple.
And Mark, you look at the young people over at service in Iraq. They have families. They have children. And God,
sure.
I can tell you firsthand, they want to be home with their families.
Yeah, and they have young families, new families, the kind that really need that kind of bonding, family bonding time.
Right, and so many of them.
They don't have grown-up kids like most of these members of Congress do. Their kids are 20, you know, 20, 25, 30 years old. These are people with young children, and yeah, it's a really hard time of year.
And, so
and they're over in Iraq doing what? Dying.
Right.
And not achieving anything.
For nothing.
Not achieving, making America more unsafe. Now, I'm not attacking the military. They're doing their best. But the policy is making America more unsafe. And so we're separating young men and women from their families at a time when, frankly, instead of helping us, they are doing their best but following a policy that hurts us.
And, Mark, you know me. I've got to say this. But when you look, too, at what's going on just down in Jackson County, Hancock County, Harrison County, Mississippi.
Yeah.
There are families down there today who are suffering, and they have children, and they're working, and they're trying like hell to get their lives back in order. And these SOBs are stopping them from doing it, Mark. These people who don't care enough about their own people, their own American citizens who are freezing. There are people getting sicker and sicker because when the weather changes around here, those FEMA trailers do not protect the people. They're getting broke into. Their lives are in total chaos. And these SOBs want to gripe about having to work 5 days a week. Oh, my heart bleeds for them, Mark. It really bleeds for them. And I dare them to get their sorry butts down here to Jackson County, Mississippi. Get with Jim Yancey. And let's go down here and let's see what suffering really is. And then I want to hear them tell me about how rough they got it, Mark. Then I want to hear it. And if you see any of them say that, would you please pass that on for me?
Well, you could start with Jack Kingsley of Georgia, who talked about how hard it was on his family to be there 5 days.
I am so sick of them griping when I see people dying, when I see people suffering, when I see hospitals overflowing, when people can't get medical help, when I see children wanting to commit suicide because their country has forgotten them, and these piles of crap want to gripe about having to work more than 2 days a week. That doesn't cut it, Mark. It doesn't cut it, and my heart does not bleed for them, not one iota.
Well, you are so passionate and so eloquent. The problem is they just don't see. Their eyes are closed. They don't see. They don't see the less fortunate.
Well, Mark,
irony is that these people who are so quick to call themselves Christian and so important to them to ram a particular brand of fundamentalist Christianity down the throat of everyone that doesn't believe it, the kind of people that would go out and protest to make sure Walmart says Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays, that's what they're fighting for, rather than fighting for the people who need homes and health care and a chance to have to give their children better lives.
Well,
now, you tell me which one Jesus cared about. Jesus complained about hypocrisy. He had complained about people that openly proclaimed their religiosity while they, in their private dealings, they cheat their neighbor. Now, who was he talking about, if not the Republican Congress?
This is my last statement, and I'll let you go. But what I want to say is there are people right here in my hometown, and I'm only a short drive to where some of the really horrible scenes are, that when you tell them about what's going on in Jackson County, the only thing they hear is it's really bad, and they shake their head and say, yeah, it's a shame. And then they want to change the subject. And that's just people just, and they have family down in that area. But they're Republicans, and because these Republicans are the ones that's inflicting this damage, somehow it's okay. Mark Malichko.
Sorry, I would hope, and I suspect that there are churches down there in Mississippi that are picking up the cause. They are filling in some of the holes where the government is completely failing and doing some good for some of these people, even if not enough, aren't there?
There are some, but it's like one guy in Bay St. Louis told me, one group out of Oklahoma, I think it was, came in and asked him what kind of needs he had, and he told them, and they said, well, are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm agnostic. And they said, bye. Mark, I'm going to let you go. Thank you, buddy.
Sarge, thanks for your call. Thank you for your passion. Keep up that passion. Keep up that wow. See, that's the other thing that just tears at my heart, is the purpose of helping your fellow man and your fellow woman, is the purpose to convert them to your particular brand of religion? Or is the purpose to help someone in need? What do you think? What would Jesus say? And I don't mind citing the man, even though I'm Jewish, because I have a lot of respect for the historical person that lived, Jesus of Nazareth. I have a lot of respect for his ideals. He cared about the poor. He cared about the least among us. He said it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. Not because he hated the rich, but because he understood how tempting it is for someone who has a lot of money to turn away and not look and close their eyes. He condemned hypocrisy. And now, what are Christian groups focusing on? Are they focusing on the homeless down in Louisiana and Mississippi? Are they focusing on those that are hungry and in need and sick? Are they focusing on the families that want to be together this Christmas season when 140,000 of our young men and women are facing death in Iraq? And facing post-traumatic stress syndrome when and if they finally get home, as well as 20,000 having lost limbs? Are they focused on them? Or are they focused on insisting that Walmart say Merry Christmas? Are they focused on telling the first Muslim member of Congress that he's got to put his hand on a Christian Bible rather than a Muslim Bible, the Quran? Time to change their focus. Time for people of whatever religion or non-religion to get together and call a spade and call a hypocrite a hypocrite. Let's be very, very clear. The Christian Coalition, Focus on the Family, and all these groups that focus on enforcing state Christianity rather than acting as Christians to their fellow men and women, to me, they are a shame. They are a mark. They are a, on Jesus' name, their prophet, leader, Messiah, whatever you want to call him, Prince of Peace, Jesus would be ashamed if he saw what they were doing today. Toll free number, 877-4-HEAD-ON, 888, God, I forget my number, 888-488-MARK. Sarge got me all worked up. 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Hello, this is Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing at irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We look over at the incipient civil war in Iraq. It's Shiites killing Sunnis, it's Sunnis killing Shiites. And we think, well, we kind of look down on it, don't we? How silly it is to kill someone over religion. We might feel the same way about the situation in Ireland. It's mostly peaceful now, but a decade ago it was Catholics killing Protestants and Protestants killing Catholics. And we think, we're morally superior. We would never kill someone over religion. And yet we see fundamentalist Christians, some of them, not all of them, many of them do care about the poor, many of them do care about the needy. Some of them are going and helping everyone hurt by Hurricane Katrina, and not just the people Sarge mentioned, that only help those of their own religious persuasion. But what is their focus? Well, recently they've been focusing on two things. One is this so-called war on Christmas. Now, there was a lot made of this last year when retailers had the audacity to actually wish Americans happy holidays, to say, in effect, that whatever your religious persuasion, we want you to have a good holiday season. If you're Christian, that's Merry Christmas. If you're Jewish, it's Happy Hanukkah. If you're African American, it's Happy Kwanzaa. And if you're atheist, agnostic, Buddhist, or anything else, we can all have a Happy New Year, can't we? What is so wrong with happy holidays? Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't have a problem with Merry Christmas. But I do have a problem if you can only say Merry Christmas. If somehow wishing someone a Happy Hanukkah is considered un-American, then you're excluding me. If you're saying that wishing someone a Happy New Year only, or in addition to Merry Christmas, that you're excluding an atheist, I mean, look, what is wrong with retailers having Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy New Year? If I were more educated, I would think of a Buddhist holiday. I don't know. There's nothing wrong with it. That's what America's all about. Well, apparently the war on Christmas is over, according to the right wing, because Walmart has agreed to not say Happy Holidays anymore, to only wish their Christians a good holiday season, but to leave out all the non-Christians. You see, that's what they want. They want an America where Christians are treated better than non-Christians. They want an America that distinguishes between Christians and non-Christians. They want, in effect, to a lesser degree, what the Shiites and the Sunnis want in Iraq. Before we point the finger at them, let's look a little bit at ourselves. One of the worst, I think, examples of anti-religious prejudice came from a Jewish man, Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager is complaining that the first Muslim member of Congress, Keith Ellison, wants to take his oath of office using a Quran. Now, if you tell me that no one should take the oath of office based on any religious text, I might be able to go for that. I don't see a need for it. But if you want to pass a law saying that we only need to put our oath on the Constitution of the United States, I'm all for it. But for 200 years, people have placed their hands on the Christian Bible. Jews have placed their hands on the Hebrew Bible. Atheists have placed their hands on secular works. Franklin Pierce affirmed the oath rather than swearing to it. Hoover, citing his Quaker beliefs, didn't use a Bible, and neither did Teddy Roosevelt. And that's all okay. So why can't Keith Ellison put his hand on the Quran? It's not like the Quran calls for death to Christians and Jews. It does describe some bloody wars, but heck, have you read your Old Testament lately? Come on. Come on. And the American Family Association of Mississippi, Tupelo, apparently is encouraging its 3.4 million members to urge the legislators to write a law saying only the Christian Bible can be used in ceremonies. Well, I'm proud to say that the Anti-Defamation League, a Jewish organization that looks out for religious prejudice, harshly condemned Dennis Prager. It didn't matter that he was Jewish. They said Prager's views were, quote, intolerant, misinformed, and downright un-American, unquote. I couldn't agree with them more. And I also agree with the Council on American-Islamic Relations that Prager should be removed from the Holocaust Council overseeing the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. We don't need bigots overlooking a museum dedicated to ending the greatest bigotry in our times. A couple more points I want to mention before I leave for today. One is I was very sorry to hear of the re-election of Congressman Jefferson down in Louisiana. There's nothing the people of New Orleans need better than competent congressmen, and this Democratic congressman I think is corrupt as all get out. I have to blame the voters. They said if he hasn't been indicted, we'll support him. Well, my friends, that's not standard. That's good enough to be a member of Congress. You just haven't been indicted yet. They should have voted for the other Democrat, Karen Carter, and I hope that when he is indicted, he will resign, and they will put a decent, non-corrupt Democrat in his place. And I want Nancy Pelosi to stand strong and not to allow Congressman Jefferson to have any seat anywhere on a committee in Congress. I don't care that the voters reelected him. They elected Bob Ney, Duke Cunningham, all the others. We will not be supporting that kind of corruption in Congress. Meanwhile, in the last days of Congress, they didn't pass a bill, the bill they wanted to end net neutrality, the one that would let companies use monopoly power over the Internet to raise your fees, to actually charge you every time you click. Well, now the FCC is trying to do it around the president's back. This is very quiet, folks. That's why I'm telling you about it here on the Inside Scoop. Call the FCC, write them, and tell them you demand net neutrality. It's one of the few areas of free speech we have left. We will not have corporations controlling and saying, oh, well, if you click on my competitor's site, I'm charging you extra. None of that. I want to end, though, on a good note. I want to talk about the Middle East. Seems appropriate this Christmas season. And I want to praise a group I don't praise very often, the Palestinians. I want to specifically praise Palestinian leader Abu Abbas. He's not the head of the government. Hamas runs the government, but he's called for early elections. And even though he's the president, even though he's submitting himself up for election, he's called for early elections. I firmly support that call. This is the chance of the Palestinian Arab people to reject once and for all Hamas, a terrorist organization dedicated to the destruction of Israel. This is a chance for the Palestinians to vote not just for peace with Israel, but for a state of their own, which I support. to give up war to support peace. And this holiday season, Christmas season, Hanukkah season, the season of hope, the season of a new year where you think every time the world can be made anew, would be a great season for the Palestinians to embrace democratically peace, but also give Lebanon a nice thing to follow, as you have a coup d'etat attempt by Hezbollah against the elected Lebanese government. The idea that we could have both democracy and a peaceful government truly is something worthy of the Christmas season. So I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, a joyous Kwanzaa, a very Happy New Year. I will be on tonight at 7 p.m. to debate a Republican. You'll hear that show tomorrow on the Head On Radio Network at 2 p.m. Then I'm going to be gone for a while, taking my own long-needed vacation. I know I need to get back to work, too, so don't worry. Come January, I'll be here giving you the inside scoop. This is Mark Levine signing off.
How you doing today? Glad to have all of you along with us here on the Guy James Show today. Proud member of the Head On Radio Network. And we've got 2 hours of talk radio coming your way. And so we hope you'll participate. That's part of the deal, you know. I talk a while, you talk a while, we talk together. And that's what we do here. So you can give us a call at 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We'd love to have you give us a call today. Of course, we will be discussing the Iraq Study Group today. Don't see how that we can avoid that. We're going to have a great guest coming up at 3:30, and his name is Michael Schwartz. He's a professor of sociology and a faculty director of the Undergraduate College of Global Studies at Stony Brook University, and he's written extensively on protest and insurgency, as well as American business and government dynamics and all that. He's an expert on this, and you'll love to hear his opinions on the Iraq Study Group and where we're at in Iraq right now. And we'll get to that in a little while. I guess they got that study group report out right away this morning. I see it's about, 149 pages long. I promised myself I was going to read the whole thing today. Then I saw it was 149 pages long, and that, well, maybe not. but we've got the majority of it
the important parts of it down, I think. And we'll be discussing that with Michael Schwartz when he comes on around 3:30. And we'll also discuss it with you, should you decide to do so. And again, it's at 866-546-5254. It's just one of those things. We've come to the point right now in the Iraq War, and again, I call it the Bush War, where Bush's fantasy, his fantasy of going over there, and, you know, he wanted to go over there and start to all these wonderful democracies and have George Bush statues put in the you know, the city square in Tehran and Baghdad and all those places. It's not going to work out, is it? His fantasy probably ran smack into reality, and it's, maybe he you're beginning to understand it, but then again, maybe not. We've got terrible news from Iraq today. My God, 10 of our soldiers killed today, 27 so far in December. That's awful news, just awful news. We're on headed toward a record pace if that, on a record pace if that sticks. God, I hate to think of that, 10 today. You remember when it was we'd hear one or two got killed in a day, and we thought, my God, isn't that awful? Now we're hearing, it's not unusual to hear 10. Just terrible. Absolutely terrible. 10 more today. So what else we got on here today? And we'll be discussing that all a little bit later. Oh, under the Crimea River title today, did you hear about this? You know, Steny Hoyer, the new Democratic leader, majority leader in the House, says they're going to have the House in session now on Monday through Friday. Actually, Monday through Friday. Are you aware of the fact that right now the House meets anywhere usually late Tuesday afternoon to early Thursday afternoon? Are you aware of that they put in one full day a week and two half days a week? Did you know that? So Steny Hoyer is actually going to have them in session Monday through Friday, and it's bothering some of them. And here's a quote from Representative Jack Kingston, a Republican from Georgia. He is quoted in the Washington Post in response to Majority Leader Steny Hoyer's plan to increase the House work schedule from 3 days a week, and really it's not three, to five. He said, and I quote, "Keeping us up here eats away at families. The Democrats could care less about families. That's what this says." Well, 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 Congressman. You're going to have to be actually on the job that you were hired to do. You're actually going to have to be there for a change, Monday through Friday. Instead of working one full day and two half days a week, you're actually going to